For those of you that did not eat a huge breakfast, in just a few moments, we're going to invite you to go downstairs. And the gentlemen have prepared lasagna, salad, all the trimmings, wonderful dessert down there for you. And we invite everyone to go downstairs. We've got plenty. They've got pans and pans and pans and pans of lasagna. So we're going to ask that we'll go downstairs. One little thing that I just want to mention before, we go downstairs, is that of those of you that are nice and healthy and don't mind a little bit of cool air, we invite you to come around the church and on in the back stairs. For those of you that want to stay inside, we will help you down this side of the stairs. We'll help folks down because our stairs are very narrow, very narrow. So the church built back about 1901. So we have those small steps. So we want to encourage you to try to be as careful as you can in getting down to the basement. Encourage everybody for a wonderful time of fellowship and enjoying what God has given us. For just a couple minutes, I'm going to try to speak quickly. You'll try to listen as fast as you can. We are going to continue our preaching, our discussion on David. Probably this will finish up our little study on David, some of the things that God has impressed upon me that hopefully we will share with you and will enlighten your heart, will bring joy, and hopefully allow you to become closer to God. Why do we come to church? We come to church, number one, to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen? That's why we're here. And God, through His wisdom, allows us to come and gather together in His name. So as we come into God's house, we lift up the name of Jesus. And we're able to share one with another the joys, the happiness, and also the burdens that we have in our lives. And God, through His Holy Spirit, comes, leads us, guides us, directs us. And we're able to, hopefully, when we leave His house, feel like we have been touched by God's Holy Spirit. I enjoy many things in my life. I've been so fortunate in my life. I've been so fortunate to have so many friends, and I've not lost a close family member yet. I've known times of joy and success, but I've never felt anything that moves me as much as the simple touch of a loving Heavenly Father. It brings joy to my heart when I come into God's house. I see Mike and Ryan back. It just warms me. When I see Brad willing to stand up here and go solo today, brings a smile to my heart. When I see folks that are willing to lift up their hand and say, you know what? Pray for my family member. Pray for healing. Pray for safe travels. Pray that the loving God, the great physician, will touch bodies, those that are willing to stand up. I put Rich on the spot this morning because he's downstairs and preparing food, and he didn't hear any of the prayer requests. And I wanted it that way. It's not who is up here speaking that prayer request, my friend. It's the individual who hears that prayer request. And you, within your heart, when God lays something upon it and you just want to share, God hears that. He hears your heart. Then it's time for us to all learn. David, we took him all the way from Goliath and the different challenges that he had within his life. We talked about the times when David was so focused on God. And how when he was so focused on God, he was able to go out and overcome any obstacle through his faith in God. Focus on God. When you focus on God, your giants, they just tumble. So how do we continually ask God to allow us to be more centered on our focus on Him? In the bulletin, you'll see a title. It says, The Brook Besor. B-E-S-O-R. Have you ever heard of that brook? No. It's one of those little things in the scripture that you really don't pay that much attention to. But it's a story that I think will help to enlighten us this morning. Before I read the scripture, I've got to give you a little bit of background. David. After the trials, after he had found himself outcast from King Saul, who tried six times to kill him, after he found himself at one of the lowest points in his life, went to the cave of Adullam, remember that? And God sent all those that we would not pick out as being superstars. No, God sent all those who were in debt, who were suffering, who were in strife, who were in discontented to that cave. And together, they found strength in their focus on God. And God allows David to form an army within that cave, an army likened unto the army of God. And they went out, and they decided that God had laid it upon their heart to go back and to fight the Philistines again. So he took this great army, about 600, and went and fought the Philistines. When he got back, something terrible had happened. When he got back, he found out that all those wonderful things that they expected when they returned were flipped upside down. Because when they got back to the camp, there was a group that had been there. And they had taken all the women and children that they had left behind. So instead of coming back to that camp with victory, they were so saddened because each of the men, their families were gone. The Amalekites had come in and just emptied the camp. And David's men turned on him. Instead of being so mad at the Amalekites, they were mad at David. How could you possibly listen to God, go off and leave our women and children unprotected? We come back to an empty village. And they decided that they would stone him. David had been through these things before. Remember, Saul had tried to kill him about six times. He'd been through tasks unbelievable. He had overtaken Goliath the giant, so many things in his life. And David went to God and prayed, "Will I be able to go and find those that have made our women and children captive?" God says, "Yes, yes, you will be able to." So begrudgingly, he talked the men into, "We must go." Now remember, these men had just got back from fighting the Philistines, exhausted, tired. And they went out into the desert to try to rescue that had been taken away from them. Now David, and I'm reading from the 30th chapter in the book of 1 Samuel, in the 6th verse. "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters." But then it says in the second part of that verse, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." David found his focus again on God, and he strengthened himself. Then they went out into a desert, into a place and a land so barren there was hardly any hope. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack. And they got to a point where they were simply tired. And thanks be unto God, they found an Egyptian man who was left in the desert to die by that group of men that had taken their wives, sons, and daughters. We're not sure. We think this man was probably disabled, and The group felt that, you know, he's not worth the food that he eats, so we'll just leave him here in the desert to die. And David's men brought him to David, and they fed him, gave him water, figs, raisins, and strengthened him. And he said, would you be willing to show us where they're camping? They had a lead into where they might be. And then they got to this place called the Brook Besor. Being so tired and weary on the road, they stopped, water on their faces, and they rested. And some said, I just can't go another step further. I'm tired, and I'm ready to plop down. And I know you've been tired like that sometimes in your life. Just this past week, I with some very strong, manly men, we went and we cut wood, and we moved about 2 cords of wood. And as those 3 gentlemen were headed out, I thanked them, and as they went out of sight so they couldn't see me, tired. I know you've had times in your life like that. I see these folks out when they're trying to walk a dog, and sometimes it's the dog who makes the decisions. I see them little legs go out and just people pulling, and just that dog has decided this is a place where I'm going to plop down and rest. And that's what 200 of the men did. There in that Brook Besor, they decided, this is it. I can't go another step. How tired do you have to be to not be willing to keep looking for your family? God knew where David's focus was. And because of that, the other 400, with the leading of the Egyptian that had shown them where the camp was, they began and they found the folks there. And they swooped down, overcame the camp. The men of the Amalekites that were not left living, they were left running away. And they rescued all the women, the children. Now let me paint you a picture of what's happened. 200 men had stayed back at the brook. Off the hillside, they come down and they successfully raid the camp. Rescue. First of all, think of those wives. For days and days and days and days and weeks, they'd feared for their lives. They'd been captured, taken out of their... And so excited, so happy, so elated. It's like those folks getting off that cruise ship and kissing the ground, right? Happy. But then they look around, where is my husband? Well, some were tired and stayed back at the brook. What? I don't know if they had rolling pins and stuff back in those days, but I imagine there was going to be some stiff conversation when they got back together. And also think of those men. Under David, they went down, and not only did they rescue all the women, all the children, also all the spoils that were there, because the men simply ran. All the good things, all the spoils were there. They loaded up everything and came back to the brook. In the 22nd verse, I want to read you this. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoils that we have recovered, except every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. This is David's men speaking. Because those fellows were too lazy to continue on with us into the battle. The only thing that we're going to give them are their wives and their children, and then we're going to order them away for them to depart. Now, how many times in churches have we been guilty of, well, they got what they deserve? Come on. So many times around the Christian community, I've heard this over and over again. Well, they played with fire and they got burnt. They got what they deserve. But David, focused upon God, David, a man after God's own heart. This is what David said. But David said in the 23rd verse, "My brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troop that came against us." Because David knew that his victory came from God. David knew that. "For who will heed you in this manner? But as his part is who goes down to battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike." So it was from that day forward, and he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. There's something very special here. David doesn't even refer to those as the ones who stayed behind because they were tired. He didn't tell them to stay by. They chose that. But David says, even those who simply stayed back and watched the supplies. He didn't talk down to those men. He didn't belittle them. And he said, they will receive the same portion of the spoils that you men who went with me. Why? Because it all comes from God. Our focus is on the Heavenly Father. Our focus is on God. And God is the one who gives us our victories. Why should we be small-minded? Why should we be looking at others, thinking that we are any better? We are simply sinners saved by grace. What a difference it made. One man with his focus on God. I was intrigued, and I picked on David and Barb today about that little cruise out in the Gulf. And I have heard story after story about it. And for those of you who've been on cruises, it doesn't take much to kind of paint the picture of what they were going through on that cruise ship. And I know it was difficult. I know the conditions were not what you think of in a cruise. And nobody was looking forward to coming back to their staple room and looking for that little towel, you know, wrapped and folded in some little animal, for those of you who know what I'm talking about. I told the guys this morning, if I'd have called my own lawyer, he was probably standing on the down there in Mobile, Alabama, with his card handed out, the first person stepped off that boat. But you know, folks, it's how you handle the things that you deal with in your life. Those things simply happen. And I'm sorry for those individuals that had to suffer through a very difficult situation, but those things happen. But I also want to tell you about the article I read about it that said, you know what? 45 people got together for an impromptu Bible study on that ship out in the middle of the Gulf. There were people in the higher decks there who, because there was no air conditioning, because it was quite warm, there was a lady there who opened up her cabin to five other people to stay with her because she could open the doors and the air would flow through, four of whom she didn't know. But she said, I got to know them in the next 5 days. People that were on that ship, God will allow them to form bonds that will continue on after any old cruise has gone by. If their focus is on God, if their focus is on where our focus should be, so many times we simply take for granted that God has done for us. This past Thursday, I traveled down to Virginia Beach. I walked into my brother's house. I hadn't said too much about this in the services and prayer request time because so many times as you were praying for those names that are listed down, I was praying privately for my brother. He went into the hospital for a hernia operation, a two-day operation. 2 weeks later, they let him go. Let him out on Wednesday. I went down there on Thursday. I walked in. I walked through that house out on the back deck. And my brother, which some of you know, he's a good man. He and I, we go hunting. We work on houses. We do all the things men should do. And when I walked through that house, and he said, let me show you the deck. We stepped out of the back of the house. He broke down, tears flowing. He says, I am so happy to see you. I am so happy that you have come to see me. Tears. We hugged. And I never quite seen him as emotional as he was on Thursday. We take things for granted, folks. We take things that we so easily pass over in our lives that God has been so gracious and so wonderful to simply allow us to be a part of it. And it's only those times where we really look inside, we really start to understand, God, thank you for what you did for me, an old sinner saved by grace. Thank you for the people that you have placed within my life. We laugh a lot here at Mount Calvary, and that gives us the right to cry when we need to cry. I believe that God is working at work here. I believe that some of us are very fortunate in what we've been given. And we have the responsibility to share with others in a way that is warm and loving, through kindness, through gentleness. Sometimes you'll find in your life you need a brook to soar, some place that you can just relax. I know people that have been through divorce and they're going through their little brook to soar because they just can't do anything else. I know people that have addictions and they just can't do anything else. I know people that have had such things going on in lives that they're done. We have that responsibility to love them, to lift them up, to share what we have been given, and that is the love of God, because each and every one of you have been forgiven of far more than you deserve. Amen? Amen. The brook Besor. Just a few little lines in the Bible. But when you think about how it took place, it's a story that lives and can relate to every day of our lives. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we've come into your house. We gather together in your name. We have lifted up your name in song. We have made our requests known unto you about those needs that we have, that you will reach out and touch. We've sung praises. We've given thanks unto you. We believe in prayer, and we've said that. God, we simply want to say thank you for allowing us to be forgiven. And let us never be full of ourselves, never looking down on others who are struggling. But let us be warm, compassionate, always willing to be a part of the uplifting of that individual who is downtrodden. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you. Now, Heavenly Father, allow what we've heard today to be held within our hearts. Allow the words that we hear from your word to change us. And God, we'll do our best that we can. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. What I'm going to do is they're going to play a song.